Good morning, church. It is so lovely to be with you this morning. Good morning to all of our online guests. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Isn't it wonderful to be in the presence of our Father? To be with one voice, one accord in unity before Him. And I just want to welcome you to stand. We're going to go into a time of worship. Let's pray together. Lord God, you are worthy of it all. Lord, you are glorified in us. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that was shed for us, Lord. Thank you that we get to call upon your name, Lord. The name above all names. Lord, you've promised that where your spirit is, there is freedom. There is joy, there is peace, and there is life, Lord. And so we tap into that and we say, thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love that washes over us today. Father, we are strong in you, for you are our firm foundation. We look unto you, we fix our eyes on you, and we worship you with all that is within us. We thank you for this in your holy and your mighty name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Let's worship together. It's praise, church.
I praise in the valley. I praise on the mountain. I praise when I'm sure. Praise when I'm doubting. I praise when I'm numbered. Praise when surrounded, 'cause praise is the water my enemies drown in. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. My God is alive. How could I keep inside?
you, Jesus, that we get to worship and praise you, Lord. We bless your name. You are holy, Lord. You are worthy. Thank you, Jesus. We are never alone. When I feel the fear come,
conquer, fear you'll never conquer. did not suffer for nothing. When you shed your blood, every drop was on purpose. What a
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you humbled yourself to the death on the cross, so that, Lord, we can stand today on the other side of the cross, confident, Lord, in your blessing, confident in your goodness, confident in your undeserved favor. Father, thank you so much. What else can we say, Jesus? Just thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your abundant favor, abundant grace upon each one of us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. You can have your seats. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you, worship team. What an amazing worship set. Thank you, media team. We appreciate you guys. Powerful stuff. No, I was just looking at I was just thinking in my heart while Yana was singing that last song. And I saw how much Letitia, her mother, enjoyed listening to her daughter singing. And I was just thinking how energized God is by us when we live in His glory and experience His life in us here on earth. It is such a powerful thing. That one song. Did you guys see who wrote that second last song? Hey? That was Chloe van Graan. You know, it's amazing when you listen to a song, and I don't know if it's almost like you recognize the song. You've heard it before, but you have never heard it before. That shows you that's written from the Spirit of God, hey? Because it just witnesses with your spirit. Such a powerful song. So, so awesome. Thank you, Chloas. That is powerful stuff. The offering scripture this morning is going to be Psalm 127, verse 2, out of the Amplified Classic. It says, "It is vain for you to rise up early and to take rest late, to eat the bread of anxious toil." Whew, that sounds scary. "For he gives blessings to his beloved in sleep." Hey, how powerful is that? I think one of the greatest revelations that I've had in my life is to learn how to receive from God. We're so conditioned by religion to receive from God on our merits, and Jesus wants to bless us because of his goodness. And so I think we've learned that in such a wonderful way here in Vineyard, that we work hard in the daytime, but in the night while we sleep, we receive our reward, eh? We receive our blessing. And I remember while I was preparing, this story came up in my heart. I was in Hong Kong at a stage, and I worked at a pastor's house. And I actually went to his house, and I said, "I'll fix everything for you. You know, I fixed these doors, and I fixed a lot of things." I remember I even fixed the one light, and they said the one person got so excited about Jesus that he jumped and broke the light. So I had to fix the light as well. But when I was done for the day, they gave me a little book. It was written by this pastor, and it was called Living in the Grace of God. And that book so impacted my life in a great way that I thought afterwards it would have been such a loss for me if they paid me and never gave me the book. And you see how the work that we do when we get a spiritual reward, it is so much bigger than what we get in the natural. And isn't that why we are so thankful for this church? Because we get so much spiritually in this place. And we're being blessed in such an amazing way. And man, it's such a joy to give to a ministry that is feeding the flock, hey? Isn't that awesome? So yeah, if you want to give towards Nisner Vineyard, there's lots of ways to give. You can look on the screen or even on your pamphlet that you've got in your hand. And we're thankful for every rand, dollar, or Bitcoin that is coming our way. It's a big blessing. And thank you for being part of this ministry and throwing your hearts into it by showing by giving and giving towards this ministry. Such a powerful testimony, hey? Wow, powerful. So KV Store merchandise. If you want to buy something, we've got new merchandise on the shelves there in the iCafe. Go have a look at it. It's beautiful stuff, and it is looks good on you. It'll make you look very young and powerful. So I know you're going to sell out of stock, Chloe. So there's Karis Bible College Open Day coming up. It's on Saturday, the 16th of September. Karis Bible College is the best thing you can do with your life. It's been the best 3 years of my life. I'm serious. It's been so awesome. 16th of September, 2023. Come and have a look. It's going to be from 9 to 4 p.m. You're in the church. Ty Edgar is coming on Sunday, the 17th of September. He will be here. He'll be ministering here. So don't make sure not to miss your yearly clinical psychologist appointment. Yes, and for those who think they don't need that, I also thought so until I listened to him. We all need our clinical psychologist every now and then, eh? Just to straighten our minds out. And then, yeah, that's been awesome. Then we've got the Iron Brew Men's Event. Show me all the Iron Brews in the house. Woo! Yes, I heard that. Powerful stuff. 23rd of September, 60 Rand buys you two burgers. Ladies, you are welcome to come only at 8:45. That's 15 minutes. I know there's the powerful ladies as well. But you're going to watch the rugby game with us. The Springboks are playing Ireland. And there is some pros coming to this event. And the one is a gospel pro that's going to be sharing the gospel with us that day. And the other one is another rugby pro. And you're going to have to wait for it, for three videos long. You're going to have to wait until you find out who is it going to be. Then after the videos, we're going to have our awesome Mama D that's going to share the message with us. And it's been so, so powerful. So the GLS video is also coming up. Have a look at that and have an awesome Sunday and enjoy.
morning, church. Is that exciting or what? Hey, don't forget to buy your tickets. It's going to be an exciting event. Invite your friends and family, and ladies, we'll be there 8:45. We've got the message. They don't have to tell us again. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's so lovely to have you be here and just be with family. Have you enjoyed the Grace for Life series? It's been so wonderful. I don't know about you, I've learned so much. I've enjoyed just soaking in it, meditating in it during the week. You know, it's one of these series that it's not just a fad diet. You know, these diets that you try for 2 weeks and they're amazing and then you go back to exactly what you were doing before. This is something that is a lifestyle change. These are things you can implement, go back and study those notes, go and listen to the sermons, because they are life-changing. And if you understand the gift of grace, that it really, who he is, what he's done for us, what it's not, what grace is not, because we can get so confused with what it is and what it's not. Go, this was such solid teaching, and we can enjoy it and chew on it for our lifetimes. Amen. It's his ability, his strength, his hope, enabling us to reign for life. That is what grace is. And when we realize it's come from him who is grace, that he ministers in grace and truth, we can enjoy the benefits of this for the rest of our lives. So I want to just, we're going to be finishing the series off today, and I get the privilege of sealing it with communion. Because I believe if we get this grace for life through communion, it's this tangible, practical way that we can inspire ourselves, apply it to our bodies, apply it to our emotions, and see grace for life bring such fruit in everything we do. And so as a teacher, I know that if you're going to do a great lesson, you've got to apply your what you see, what you hear, you've got to have taste, you've got to, I mean, teachers do crazy things, you've got to feel things, and then it counts as a great message. And Jesus knew this, and he brought communion as such a practical thing. He says, you're going to taste it, you're going to hold it, you're going to experience what I did on the cross. And this morning, we're going to look just at three stories in the Word of God that encourage us to apply this grace for life and what we've learned through communion. So this morning, the first story that I want to remind us of is that communion reminds us to look at the cross and that sin has been dealt with. And the story starts with Jesus talking to one of the famous Jewish rulers in the town of Nicodemus. And I'm sure you know this story, but I'm going to share it again with you. And, I mean, I've done Bible school twice, but I want to tell you the dots came together this week. I realized that Nicodemus' story comes before John 3:16. Now, I know I've done maths. I actually did very well in maths. And you would think I would know this because the scripture starts in John 3:3-15. And then comes John 3:16. And you all know what John 3:16 says. Share it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. So we're going to read together what happened before that famous scripture that we know with all of our hearts. And so Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he asks some questions. And Jesus replies, I'm going to read it in the NLT. I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows whenever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. How can you possibly believe if I tell you about earth, heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world." This is so powerful that if you think about it, here is Nicodemus, a famous Jewish leader. He knows the whole Old Testament. He knows every shadow and type. And yet, Jesus chooses one story. Now, if I had to tell you, if you had to go through the whole of the Old Testament and say, which one is going to be the most relevant to this Jewish leader, what would you pick? There's so many. And yet, Jesus chooses Moses. And so it could be very important that we actually know what's going on if this is the one shadow and type that Jesus shares with Nicodemus. And I want us to see it in Numbers 21, verse 4 to 9. Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient because of the journey. The people spoke against God and Moses. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food." The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us." And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard," that's a cross. "And it shall come about that anyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live." And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. This is so powerful that if we start to actually chew on what the story represented. But it starts with the Israelites being ungrateful. Romans 1:21 is so clear that the root of all sin is ungratefulness, that they were unthankful. And because of that ungratefulness, we spiral into sin and the consequences of that sin to where people don't even want to believe in God. And so the Israelites start with this ungrateful attitude, and God sends these snakes, and the snakes represent their sin. And the consequences of their sin is poison. If they bite, they are dead. And the people recognize this, that there is so much turmoil around them. There are these snakes that are biting them. They're dying. And suddenly they go and plead with Moses. "Do you think God is not big enough that he could have wiped out all the snakes immediately?" But what happened? He had to take a snake from the ground and put it and make it brass and put it on the cross. And only when the people looked at the snake on the cross did the poison not affect them. You see, God could have chosen any animal. Think about all the animals but he chose the snake because he knew that would trigger the remembrance of what happened in the Garden of Eden. That sin was brought into this world through the temptation and through the accuser of the brethren through a snake. And that the consequences of that sin was killing us. And so God knew the only way to save us from the consequences of our sin was to become a man just like us, to become a serpent, but no sin. And he would get on that cross, and that whoever looked at the cross, that poison would not affect them. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes, whoever looks at that cross, will never perish. He became sin for us. He was a perfect man that became sin for us. And we see how the bronze serpent was the central and all-sufficient means of healing for the Israelites. How much more is the cross the central and all-sufficient means of the saving work of Christ for the healing of all who believe in him? I know we have many medical professionals here this morning. It's not an accident that you have a cross with a serpent on all your items. Think about an ambulance. They all have a cross with a serpent on. Why? Because even the medical professionals know that they can only trust in their medicine for so long. They have to look at the cross. That is where the source of healing comes from. It's so powerful. In Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He became that. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We have to look at the cross. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. He became that serpent so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 1 Corinthians 11:24 says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Some translations say, do this often in remembrance of me. When we have communion, we are declaring to our bodies, to our circumstances, to the consequences of sin, sin has been dealt with. It was nailed on that cross. I am righteous. I loved what Steve said. You do not get free from sin by focusing on sin. If those Israelites had focused on the snakes, they would die. You don't get free from that cycle of guilt and shame and condemnation by looking at sin. What do? You've got to look at the cross. The cross where all sin was dealt with, and you become righteous. And the more you focus on that righteous, the more the consequences of that sin will not kill you. Hallelujah. Do this often in remembrance of me. Let's look at the cross this morning. The second thing I want to remind you that communion does is it helps us to deal with the poison of offense. In the last few weeks, we've dealt with what offense does, that it's one of the things that make grace null and void in our lives. Because of offense, grace is in vain. And it brings such poison in our lives when we're holding on to unforgiveness, when we're holding on to bitterness, when we're holding on to those people, circumstances, issues. It just brings poison into our lives. And I want to read what happened with Elisha in the Old Testament, it says in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38, it says, when Elisha returned to Gilgal, there was a famine in the land, so they're starving. As the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, he said to his servant, put on a large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets. Then one went into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered it from its lap full of wild gourds and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, for they did not know what they were. So they poured it out for the men to eat, and as they were eating of the stew, they cried out and said, O man of God, there is death in the pot. They're starving, they start eating, and all I can imagine is their throat starts to constrict and they can't breathe. I've actually witnessed this. It's a very scary event. They don't have ambulances, they don't have adrenaline, antihistamines, they've got nothing. They're dying. And look how Elisha handles it. He says, now bring meal. And he threw it into the pot and said, pour it out for the people that they may eat. Then there was no harm in the pot. I love it in the Amplified. It says, and he said, bring meal as a symbol of God's healing power. And as he cast it into the pot and said, pour it out for the people that they may eat, then there was no harm in the pot. That meal, that flour, is the same flour they used to make the unleavened bread that we have communion with. It was a representation of the body of Christ. That when there is poison in the pot, in our body, we can have communion and declare that that poison we are feeling towards people, circumstances, situations can be nullified because we have been forgiven. And we choose to forgive those. We all know this statement that resentment, unforgiveness, offense is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. When we are holding on to that unforgiveness, we are putting poison in our pot, waiting for them to die. But actually, we are dying. We don't realize what that unforgiveness is doing to us. And through communion, we are applying the body of Jesus into our poison and saying, Jesus, you absorb it. You've forgiven me of much. I'm choosing to let go. I love what Dr. Stephen Marable says. He says, do you think peace of mind can be found in holding a grudge or harboring resentment or wallowing in thoughts of what could have been? Me neither. Why do we think that? Hebrews 12 verse 15 says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. We need to apply communion and know that that poison is going to be absorbed as we let go. Can you imagine the faith of those people eating that pot of stew? I mean, 1 minute you're dying, and then it's like, here's a bit of flour, and eat away. Bon appetit. I know my teenagers wouldn't touch it again, no matter what I put in. But they chose, they also had a lot of faith. They carried on eating and no one died. They walked in that faith. Look at Luke 17 verse 1. And then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. And Steve does such a good job of speaking with offenses and about offenses. I'm not going to read the rest. Offenses are going to come. Every day we have a reason to be upset. Every day we have a reason to walk in unforgiveness. We live in a fallen world. We, We are all just going around. But you know what? We have to choose to let this poison go. For me, the most powerful thing is 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. The very night Judas was sitting there, knowing what he was doing, Jesus was a man. He could have so easily said, I'm done. I've worked with this guy for how long? I can't trust him. I'm not doing this. I quit. But he chose to forgive Judas right then and there and take bread. Maybe you've been holding on to poison. Today is your day to practically take something and choose to forgive. I remember about 10 years ago, I think it was about 10, eh, love? You and I had a fight once. Okay, I'm going to take communion now. I'm not lying. My family will know. If Steve and I have had an argument that's got very heated, don't call it a fight. It's just he doesn't know I'm always right. While he's coming to his senses. After a fight, Steve and I will sit and have communion together. If we've had a big family issue, my children will talk. We have communion and we sort it out. It is so practical. It is the best way to let him come into your situation, to put peace in your heart and let go of the poison, to get over offenses. And lastly, I love the story that communion helps us to open our spiritual eyes. This story is found in Luke 24, verse 13. Let's read it together. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles, which is about 11 k's. So it's a good walk from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with him. But their eyes were estranged, so they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are so sad? Don't you love Jesus? He's so funny. He's like, why are you so sad? Meanwhile, he knows everything. He just wants them to talk. I'm sure Ty will tell us why we need to talk through our emotions, but here it is. Then the one whose name was Cleopas, shame the other dude didn't get a mention, but we know this guy, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which has happened there in these days? It's like, have you not seen on Facebook? Where have you been, dude? Did you not read the Nicer Plate Herald yesterday? Are you telling me you don't know what's going on? And Jesus, I love it. What things? Like, I don't know anything. So they said to them, and if you ever want a synopsis of what the gospel is, what Jesus came to do, here it is. This is the headlines of Jesus' ministry. The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Isn't this a great thing? And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. If there's one DVD I'm going to watch in heaven, is that message. To see how Jesus took from Moses all the way up, every shadow, every type. And he did it in an 11 Ks, hey? That's a quick tale. But somehow he wrapped it up. And then they get to Jerusalem. They drew near to the village where they were going and indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. Isn't that beautiful? Their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Something supernatural happened when they had communion. Their eyes were opened. That feeling that they had felt when they were reading and hearing his words suddenly became, "It's Jesus." I want to remind us today that having communion is such an intimate moment with him. It's not just a piece of bread and some juice. This is us saying that his body and his blood was given to us. That when we hear his word, when we read it, like we felt this last few weeks hearing about grace, our hearts have burnt as a church. We wanted to know more. How much more do we get to see with our spiritual eyes what God is doing in among us? My prayer is that as we do it at home, as we do it as a family, wherever you are, that your spiritual eyes will be opened. That this word that we read, that we experience, won't just burn in your heart. But that you will see him on the cross for who he is, our Savior, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of time. He chose us to be his prized possession. We were the joy set before him. And he gave us this tangible, practical tool to say, maybe you've got poison. Maybe you've lived in your carnal self. When you apply communion this morning, maybe you've got a snake that's a medical report. Maybe you've got circumstances that are biting you and draining life out of you. Today, choose to say, "I'm going to look at the cross. I'm going to lift my eyes up. I'm going to be grateful. And I'm going to apply his body to my poison." So this morning, won't you stand together? As we have communion, let us remember to look at the cross, to know that sin has been dealt with, that we can deal with the poison of our offenses, and that we can open our spiritual eyes. While every head is bowed, as we just get ready to take communion together, I just want to give opportunity to those people that may be watching online, maybe you seated here, but today is the day of salvation. Maybe your eyes are being opened to what Jesus represented. Maybe you're tired of being bitten. Maybe you're tired of living your life without him. And this morning you get to choose to look at him. So if you've never asked him to be Lord of your life, if you've never prayed a prayer to say, Jesus, I want to be your child, I would love to pray with you this morning. Just while every head is bowed, if that's you this morning, won't you just raise your hand? It would be such an honor to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We're just going to pray as a family with these precious people. Can we say, Father God, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, today I choose to believe you died for me. I make you Lord of my life. I turn around and I follow you. Today I declare I am yours, brand new, a child of the King. In Jesus' name. As we take this bread this morning, maybe the Holy Spirit is reminding you of an offense, of a person, of a situation, of a lifestyle that you need to change and forgive. Today, choose to add his body to that poison. If you've been suffering with sickness, choose to add his body to your poison. So Jesus, we thank you for your precious body that was broken for us, that you declared by your stripes we were healed 2,000 years ago. And today we apply your healing power to our bodies. Thank you. We do this in remembrance of you today. In Jesus' name. And Jesus, we bring this precious blood, this grace for life, that because of your blood we apply it, that we are righteous, we are whole, we are forgiven. We look to the Lamb today and declare we are yours. Thank you for making us holy and blameless in your sight. Thank you for this blood transfusion right now, in Jesus' name. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We worship you as our King, as the lover of our souls. Thank you for our choices. Thank you for the freedom to choose you. Thank you for grace, for life. And Lord, we love you this morning. We love you, we love you. Just thank him, church, for his freedom. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross. Thank you for who you are in our lives. That you have declared us free from the consequences of sin. And we look to you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, we love you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, our hearts are overwhelmed with gratitude this morning. Thank you for your goodness that follows us all the days of our lives. We're so grateful. In Jesus' name we pray this. And everybody said, amen, amen. Go and enjoy this beautiful day. If you gave your life to Jesus, we would love to pray with you. We do have a special book for you as you enter exit. There is a What Now book. Please grab one. If you still need some ministry, there's a ministry team up here that would love to pray with you. Otherwise, go and grab a cup of coffee, meet a friend. Always remember, you are highly favored and deeply loved. Have a great week.